Pray with me. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will indeed speak through me today. Preparation put aside is nothing without your Holy Spirit. So, Father, also anoint the ears of all who listen, whether now or later on, that we'll recognize exactly what's going on. I thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer, because we come to you, Lord, not in our own strength, not in our name, but in the name of Jesus Christ, his love, his character. We pray. Amen. Amen. You should be getting a copy of the handout for today so that we could follow together. Our sermon series is entitled The History of Redemption. The History of Redemption. And we are going to dig in. We are going to dig in today. Part two of our message, part two, is entitled, Why Didn't God Destroy the Devil? Why didn't God destroy the devil? That question this morning, oh, it was so interesting. You know about zapping Judas? Oh, man, it's awesome. So, part two, January 23, why didn't God destroy the devil? Please pray about that, and let's study that together when that time comes, okay? For today, the history of redemption, the subject, the truth about Michael, the war and redemption. If you look on the screen right here, you will notice that this picture paints quite a panorama of the entire theme of redemption. Right over here on the left, what's this? This is my favorite part right here. Can you figure out what that is? Huh? Lightning, yeah.
Light, creation.
Okay. There's something specific, huh? You remember when Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like? And of course, what do we have right here? Cain and Abel, right? Of course, Cain already ran off, but Abel's right there. But you notice how all of this, okay, what do we have right here? Huh? We have the altar of sacrifice, right? With the priest and the sinner killing the lamb. And you notice how this altar and this one here back just outside Eden is in the shadow of the cross. Do you notice that? Right? And then, of course, central to all of that is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, dying for us on the cross. In the back here, what do you see? Huh? Some ancient city, right? Whether it's a meme of the of Babel or Babylon or Egypt, we know that those cities were conquered by Jesus Christ. But there's another city over here, a city of transparent gold. I'm looking forward to that, the New Jerusalem. Amen. Of course, before we even get to that point, in the background here you see Jesus being baptized by John, and over here you see Jesus at the Last Supper. By the way, last night we had a beautiful time. And for those of you who weren't able to make it, I believe you'll still get the blessings because we prayed for you. Amen. Amen. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Thank the Lord for that. So our subject for today is the truth about Michael, the war and redemption. Go with me on your study guide. The struggle. And I put struggle in quotation marks. Between, what do you think that first blank is? Between, what's that? Good and evil. That exists in our world today is a struggle that what? Predates human history. That's very important for us to understand. Very important. It predates human history. This struggle did not originate with us, but where? But began in heaven when a what? Huh? Yeah, he was an angel. Right? A created being. Right? A created being, the highest of the angels. Now, I want you to know that, okay? We're going to come back to a word later on before the sermon is out, okay? But Satan, at the time, Lucifer, right? The highest of the angels, what did he do? Corrupted himself, chose to deny God's government and turn against God. Right? Of course, you see, chose is also in bold because it was a choice that he made. As a result of this, war broke out in heaven. Now, let me pause here for a moment. In many caricatures that come to people's mind, we talk about war in heaven. You know, some say, well, it was just a battle of thoughts, you know, because they're spirit beings and, you know, they don't have swords and all those different things. And, well, they got swords, right? May not be swords of iron like we have or we used to use, right? But whatever it was, there was a great war. And I heard it this morning. You know, what's being portrayed by Hollywood, and I'm getting ahead of myself right now. What's being portrayed by Hollywood pales in comparison to what really happened in the true Star Wars. Well, let's keep going. So as a result of this, war broke out in heaven and the entire universe became involved in the great controversy. A what type of conflict? Cosmic conflict between good and evil. But this conflict did not take God by what? Oh, praise God. Amen. Didn't take God by surprise. He had a plan. The plan of redemption. This plan included God's entire creation. Angels. Other created worlds. And you say, yeah, there are other created worlds. We're going to see it in just a moment. And humanity. Now, friends, we have a very, very, very important role to play in this plan of redemption. The plan of, let's keep going here. Let me try to follow the script. Help me. This plan would solve the conflict and prevent forever prevent such a problem from ever recurring. Listen, we don't have to worry about it coming up another time. And by the way, Nahum 1:9, it's not in your notes. It's on there on the screen. You could probably jot that in there somewhere. You can go look it up, all right, a little bit later. But the Bible says, affliction shall not arise a second time. But before we begin looking at this plan and how it unfolds in human history, let us go back to the war in heaven and rediscover the most important person in the conflict. And who's that person? Michael. So go with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. What book? Revelation. Thank you for doing our scripture reading earlier. Revelation chapter 12, 7 through 9. And we got to go together, all right? We're going to motor through this and still get the message by God's grace. Revelation 12, 7 through 9. The Bible says, and there was what, everyone? War in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. When we get to part 3, which is called tampering with the jury, we're going to see some more about this old serpent. All right? So it says Michael. Now, if you can't see the screen right now, you're going to miss part of the message. If you look on, most of you would recognize what this is. I want you to recognize something, my friends. What Hollywood is portraying right now. What Hollywood is portraying right now in this meme or parody that they call Star Wars, my friends, is just a caricature of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. It's garbage that Hollywood has to show you. It's not entertainment. You see, how the enemy works is this. He tries to get you to believe a lie or to be fanciful about a lie, and when the truth comes, it's not tasteful. He tries to run with his story first, give his version of it, and when you hear the real thing, you have what is called, what psychologists call, retroactive interference. Retroactive interference is this. When old knowledge interferes with new knowledge that you're trying to learn. So when they teach you in school that you came from a monkey, and the pastor come and preach and say you came from the hand of God, you say, what? Nothing goes like that. That's why we got to have these lessons from cradle roll at home. Amen. Cradle roll at home. Because ain't no cradles in the cradle roll department here. But we call it cradle roll at church. Right? There's a cradle at home and we got to teach them. They're learning those lessons. What Star Wars is portraying, my friends, is taken straight out of the Bible, but twisted. And it's thrown on the big screen. Listen, you think Satan has any way to come up with his own ideas and ingenuity? He's only twisting a plot that has already been painted and executed by God. It's a done deal. But Satan is trying to twist it. So we don't need to waste our money to go and watch the foolishness of Star Wars. By the way, if you do, you would not be practicing good stewardship. Because it's a parody of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. Let's keep going. You might want to check out cosmicconflict.com. If you haven't seen this yet, it'd be a good thing for you to see. The real Star Wars. All right? Cosmicconflict.com. I was going to bring a free CD today, but I forgot. So please forgive me for that. But I shouldn't have told you that. Then you wouldn't have had to forgive me. But anyway. So there was a rebellion in heaven. Right as we see it in the book of Revelation. So even though the book of Revelation is at the end of the Bible, it actually bears the beginning of the story. There was war in heaven. And Satan was kicked out with his imps, with his minions. Let me say it this way. I'm not trying to make a generation gap here, okay? But when I say minions, and I turn like this, and like some of my, brethren would say, there you go, getting exciting again. But I saw the look on the younger faces. They know exactly what I'm talking about. Minion is an evil individual. But Hollywood has this little cartoon character, the Minions, and it's on everybody's t-shirt. But they don't recognize that Satan is actually wooing them to be on his side of the battle. Devils. Walking around trying from the very beginning to get our little ones. And we wonder, why are the young people not in church? We ain't teaching them the truth from their little bit. Forgive my pejorative English. But let's keep going. There was rebellion in heaven. Satan, his imps, his minions, and his demons were kicked out. So they wanted to get back at God. But the great character there is Michael. Now, you might want to write this down on the back. Michael, some of you know it already, The name Michael is two parts. The last part, E-L, means God. Okay? The first part, coming from the original language, it means who is. It means who is. So when you put the name together, what the name actually means is who is God, or who is as God, or who is like God. Now, for all the ancient Israelites who had that name, it was a question for people to think about who really is like God. But there is one who had that name, who is the very reflection of that name. And it's Michael himself, who we call the archangel. We'll come to that in just a moment. Let me give you another example. The name Joshua means deliverer. Right? But Joshua wasn't the real deliverer. He was a type for Jesus Christ, who's the antitype. So when you come to Hebrews, the name is used there, Yahshua. Okay? That's who the real Joshua is. It's Jesus. Okay? So it's the same thing with the name Michael. Okay? Well, let's keep looking at this. Satan lost heaven because of what, everyone? Because of disobedience. That much is clear. Say, what did he disobey? He disobeyed the law of God. The same Decalogue that we have. You say, what? We're going to study that in part two. Part two. Let's keep looking at this. So he lost heaven. And now, I want you to look. In the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, when we look at that study, we recognize that there is the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And on the Ark of the Covenant, there are two angels, two covering cherubs. Let's quickly look at Ezekiel 28, 14 and 15, and Isaiah 14, verse 12. You'd have come across these very verses in your lesson study this week, okay? Go with me quickly, Ezekiel chapter 28, okay? Turn in your Bible or turn on your Bible, but make sure you're following in the Bible, amen? Ezekiel 28 verse 12, 14. The Bible says, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. We're going to go into the other verses next in part two. But this here, it's talking about Lucifer. And of course, the king of Tyre is here being used as a type, okay? Obviously, the king of Tyre was not in the Garden of Eden, back at verse 13, okay? Again, this is a type and an antitype, okay? This is talking about Lucifer, okay? Now, remember this. The name Lucifer, Lux Fero, Lux means light, Fero means to carry. The name Lucifer meant he who carried the light, light bearer. Okay? The light wasn't his, but the light was the light of God that he was to carry around. Okay? But he corrupted himself. He didn't want to reflect the light. He wanted to be the light. Star Wars, have mercy. Listen, don't forget that Jesus is called the bright and morning star. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that Lucifer was also called a star. Let's go. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12. Look at this. Are you there? Verse 12 says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the what? Morning. He was supposed to be reflecting Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star. How are you cut to the ground, you who weakened the nations? And as you read verses 13, 14, and 15, which you don't have the time for today, you'll see what the problem was. He had an eye problem. Not one that he needed glasses for. Right here, I saw my friend look at me saying, huh, eye problem? I wear glasses. No, not that type of eye problem. Right? Right here. His problem was self. Right? And so he corrupted himself. He didn't want to have God as his God. He wanted to be God. Listen, my friends, when you go back to verse 14, I'm going to cut to the chase. I'm going to repeat it in the next sermon. Verse 14, I wasn't supposed to read it today, but I'll say it. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like... Hold on. Who is the most high in heaven? It's Jesus Christ. Who is the most high in heaven? It's Michael. We're going to come to that in just a moment. What he's saying here, listen, I want to be like Mike. Uh-oh. Say, oh, yeah, wasn't there a movie some years ago? Yeah, you probably don't remember that one. Lucifer wanted to be like Mike. He wanted to have the prerogative of Mike. He wanted to have the authority of Mike. He wanted to have the power of Mike, but he didn't want to have the character of Mike. And there's only one true Mike. There's only one true Michael. There's only one who is God. And that's what the name Michael means. We haven't started the study yet, but let's keep going. So, we said in our introduction that this didn't catch God by surprise. This did not take God by surprise. Let's go back. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, okay? The verses are not necessarily in the order we're going to look at them, but just follow as we go, okay? 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Okay. Hebrews. Second Timothy, Titus. Where are we? Okay. Are you there? You got there before me. All right. Let me start at verse 8. Look at this. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's important. Nor of his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. Notice this. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. What type of calling? Holy, not according to our works, praise the Lord, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before what? Before the world began, or before time began. I want you to recognize that the calling that God had for you and me was planned a long time ago. This was before this whole mess took place. It didn't take God by surprise. One more. Go with me to the book of Titus. Titus 1 and verse 2. Just a couple pages over. All right. Beginning at verse 1, Paul says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of what type of life? Eternal life. That means we don't have it yet. We're not immortal by ourselves, which God, who cannot lie, what's one thing God can't do? He can't lie. He promised before time began. He promised before time began. So God had a plan that was in place. Okay? This whole thing didn't happen and God said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He had that plan. Let's keep looking at this. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Look here. First Peter 1 and verse 12. We're broadening the scene now. Look at this. First Peter 1 and verse 12. It says, to them it was revealed that, not to themselves only, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit and from heaven. Notice this. Things which what? Are you there? Things which angels desire to look into. So what we find here is that the angels in heaven, they're interested in this controversy. They want to see exactly how it's going to happen. Angels don't know the future. They don't. They'll catch on a lot quicker, right? But they don't know the future. They're ministering spirits, and God gives them messages to pass on to the prophet, and the prophet will take that message to pass on to the church. Question is the church listening? So angels desire to look into this. Now you want to write this extra text down. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. That's not on your notes, okay? But notice this. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of what? Godliness. God, manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels. So the whole manifestation of Jesus Christ when he came here incarnate was something that really intrigued and piqued the interest of the angels to see how he was going to actually work this thing out. He was going to take on less power to overcome one who hadn't lost his power that he had from the time he was created. Talking about Lucifer. Jesus came in less power. He humbled himself. Philippians 2 verse 5. Right? So the angels are interested in what's going on. But let's keep looking at this. Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9, okay? This is a topical message today, so we're going back and forth, okay? 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. Here a little and there a little to get the full picture. Look at this. For I think, again, this is Paul speaking, 1 Corinthians 4, 9. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a what? A spectacle. Now that's an interesting word. The Greek word here for spectacle, listen to this, is the word theatron. What does that sound like? Where do you think they got the idea from? We are a theater, Paul says, to the world, both to angels and to men. He said, listen, what's going on here on planet Earth? This role play, this play of this great controversy is a theater. It's a spectacle to the entire universe, both to angels and to men. So they're watching. They're watching the role play. Okay? Listen, Earth is the world's biggest reality TV. It's the universe's biggest reality TV. So listen, you're playing a role, all right? Same book, go over to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Look at this. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. Right? Which none of the rulers of this age knew. You notice that? It's going on, but they're not aware. But keep going. It says, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Say, it's talking about the rulers back then. Listen, there's a whole bunch of crucifixion of Jesus Christ right now. Maybe not physically, but spiritually in the minds of men. When they make their mock and their jeer on SNL and those other late shows about Jesus Christ, when they tear apart his church, when we hear it on the radio, if they knew better, they wouldn't do it. That's why Jesus had to say, Lord, Father, forgive them. For what? They don't know what they're doing. If they knew what they were doing, they would stop. Now, when you go to Hosea, the Holy Spirit just brought this to my mind. When you go to Hosea, he says, my people are destroyed for what? Why is there lack of knowledge? Because you have rejected knowledge. It's not that the knowledge isn't available. And because you have rejected that, you leave me no choice but to reject you. Right? So, I want us now to dig deeper into the personage of Michael. Friends, the Old Testament is rich with meaning for us. We cannot afford to do away with the Old Testament. If you take the New Testament and you begin reading it, and it said, it is written. When you come to that point, if you have already taken away the Old Testament, half of the New Testament would be blank. You're not a New Testament Christian. Hello? You're a Bible Christian. Genesis to Revelation. Amen? Because what is contained in the Old Testament is revealed in the New. But you won't understand what's in the New if you don't study the Old. Amen? So I want us now, we already read Revelation 7 through 12, okay? We didn't go all the way through 12, but we read 7 through 9. Let's keep that in mind. The war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought, the dragon lost, he was kicked out with his angels. Okay? Go with me to the book of Exodus. What book? Exodus. Now, we're not going to fully see it just yet. But Exodus chapter 3, verse 5 sets a backdrop for us. Okay? We're going to go up to, start at verse 1. Follow me. Reading from the New King James. The Bible says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. Moses was a shepherd. Amen? This is verse 1. Okay? God had to give Moses something to do to learn to tend sheep. Oh, have mercy. Remember what he did? He killed the Egyptian, right? He, in his anger, you know, he knew God had a purpose for him, and so he wanted to do it his way. God had to send him to the school of the sheep for 40 years to unlearn his bad habits. Forgive me. God had to send him to school of the sheep for him to unlearn his bad habits if he was to lead God's people. And so, he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the what? The mountain of God. Stay with me now. Stay with me. Verse 2, what does it say? And the angel of who? The Lord appeared to him. Now, this is important. Immediately when you read this, you say, oh, this is one of God's angels. Uh-uh. Not so. It says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Oh, that's a whole sermon in itself. And if you want to get the rest of that sermon, you got to read Hebrews 12, verse 29. Okay? And you got to... Oh, okay, we'll talk about that another time. Verse 3. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. Are you following? He said, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. So who was there? The angel of the Lord. Okay. Now, go with me to Revelation 19:10. Okay. Revelation 19:10. I want you to recognize something about the angel of the Lord in Exodus. Okay? Not this angel in Revelation, but the angel of the Lord in Exodus. But we got to go to Revelation first to get the full picture. Look at this. Let me go back to, verse 7. Revelation 19 verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's talking about the church. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, who is the he he's talking about here? There was an angel that appeared to John when he was on Patmos. Okay? Then he said, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So now he finished his message. And what does John do? John says, oh, and I fell at his feet to worship him. Right? So he's here now going to worship this angel. Fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, hold up, buddy. Don't do that. See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. You know why he's saying don't worship me? Because he saw what happened to Lucifer when Lucifer wanted worship. Listen, don't worship me, because if you worship me, I'm going to get kicked out too. But hey, it's some serious stuff. The angel is pleading in exclamation, do not worship me, get up. And he says to him, worship God. Now, go with me to Joshua. Joshua. We're still on the angel of the Lord. We haven't hit the nail just yet. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Okay. Right after Deuteronomy. And are you there? All right. Joshua chapter 5. Look at this. I'm going to begin at verse 13. By the way, the children of Israel are now encamped around Jericho. Okay? You know what's supposed to happen with Jericho, right? I want to show you how they actually won the war. Say, yeah, we know how. But look, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a what? A man. Now, if you got a good translation, you'll see man in a capital M. And this man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said to him, no, but as commander, capital C, of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And what did Joshua do? Joshua fell down at his feet, and he fell on his face to do what? Worship him. And said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? So the very next thing that you expect to hear from this man is, oh, no, don't do that, don't do that. Get up, don't worship me. Look at what he says. He kicks it up a notch. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to him, take your sandals off your feet. For the place you're standing is holy ground. Excuse me? This is G-O-D. This is God. Because he appeared there in Exodus chapter 3 verse 5 as the angel of the Lord. Moses went up. Moses was instructed, listen, you're on holy ground. Take your foot off, take your feet off. Take your sandals off your feet. Right? Going too fast, eh? Take your sandals off your feet. And worship. So this is no ordinary angel. This is the commander of the army. Notice that. He's the commander. Now let me ask you a question. Some of us in here have served in the military. Thank you for your service. Who's your commander? In chief? The president. Is the president a soldier? No, he's not. The commander of the armies of the Lord is the commander, but he's not an angel. Even though sometimes he's called the angel of the Lord. He takes that title sometimes. Who is he? Who is he that is stronger than Satan? Who is he that has authority over Satan? Oh, have mercy. Look at this, my friends. Go with me to the book of Daniel. What book? Daniel. I heard it mentioned today in Sabbath school. The book of Daniel. I'm like, man, the Holy Spirit is just preparing our hearts. Daniel chapter 10. Verse 13. So, here we find where Daniel was praying for 3 weeks. And when you say praying for 3 weeks, he was intently praying. Because you say, oh, I prayed for 3 weeks too. I prayed yesterday. I prayed the day before. I prayed the day before that. I want to talk about that. He was fasting and praying. This way, there was nothing else he was doing. Okay? He was praying for 3 weeks because he wanted to understand the vision of Daniel chapter 9. By the way, he was studying the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 when he had that vision. Okay? We could talk about that another time. Verse 13. So he was studying and he was praying and said, Lord, what's going on here? Verse 13. Okay? Verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hand. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. Notice he tells him to do what? Get up, stand upright, okay? For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear. Don't be afraid of me. Right? He's trying to calm him down. Right? Daniel, for your first, listen now this, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. By the way, my friends, let me stop here to give you some encouragement. You may have been praying about something for a long time. Listen, from the very first moment you prayed, God heard you. But maybe there are some details that need to be worked out sometimes. Seems like the answer is delayed, but God always answers. He always answers. Sometimes he says yes immediately. Sometimes he says wait. And sometimes he says, listen, I have something better in mind. God doesn't just say no and leave you hanging. Amen? Let's keep going. So what does he say here? He says, listen, I've heard you from the very moment you started. Verse 13. But the prince, don't miss this, my friends. Follow me here. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Now let me ask you, you think he's talking about Darius or some of the other human princes here? No. This is a type. He's talking about Satan himself. Okay? In his own strength, Gabriel is no match for Satan. But Gabriel is stronger in the power of Michael. We're going to see that just now. Look at this. He says, but Satan withstood me. The prince of Persia withstood me for 3 weeks. And behold, who? Who? Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. He said, he's called one of the chief princes. I don't really get that. Friends, listen, that's nothing strange. Isaiah calls him what? The prince of peace. Right? He calls him prince of peace. We're going to look at that in just a moment. Okay? In another passage. So he says, one of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. I said, listen, if it was one-to-one, match-on-match, I couldn't beat him. But Michael had to come. So when you read Michael, it says Michael had to come and help him. What comes back to your mind? Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And because Michael was leading, the dragon was beaten and kicked out. Verse 14 says, now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Look at verse 21 now. But I will tell you what is noted in the scriptures of truth. No one upholds me except these. Except who? Michael, your prince. Is Michael your prince? You're going to see something in just a moment. Go over to chapter 12. Same book, Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now look at this. This now is dealing specifically with a prophecy at the end time. Okay? Michael says, at that time, Michael shall what? Stand up. Now what's the title given to him? The what? The great prince. Who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of what? Trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be what? Delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. By the way, jot this down. We don't have time to read it right now. John 5, 28 and 29. Okay? John 5, 28 and 29. And 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Okay? Notice here, it says Michael is going to stand up and God's people will be delivered and some will be raised to everlasting life. Some of those who sleep in the dust shall be raised to everlasting life and some also to shame and everlasting contempt. Okay? That's another sermon. Okay, about the special resurrection. Okay? But notice it's when Michael stands up that all these things take place. Now, when you read John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus is the one speaking. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all who are in the grave shall do what? Hear my voice and shall come forth, those that have done good to the resurrection of life. What am I talking about here? Why is there so much emphasis on this Michael person and now you're connecting him with Jesus? You see, my friends, when Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, he says, for the Lord himself will come with a shout. A what? He comes with a megaphone. And he says, with the voice of the what? Of the archangel. Some translations say an archangel. That's a mistranslation. It is the definite in the original language. Because there's only one archangel. You see, my friends, archangel... The archangel is not an angel. The word A-R-C-H comes from the original, which means the one who is above, over, or in charge of. You know when you're walking through an arc or an arch? It's over you, right? The archangel is the one who is above the angels. He has the authority over the angels and he has the power of resurrection. Why? Because he's Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, when we think of Jesus, we think of him as a baby. We think of him as a lamb. We think of him as someone slain on Calvary's cross. And yes, he's all those things. But Jesus Christ is also a warrior. He's also a man of war. And Michael is his war name. Michael is his war name. And he comes in the strength of God to minister justice. And so look at this. When we find in the Old Testament, the walls of Jericho coming down, friends, it was Michael and his army. When we find all of the Assyrians vanquished and killed, it was Michael and his army. When we find that the servant of the Lord prays and say, open the eyes of my servant that he might see, and he sees chariots of flames around on the mountain, it was Michael and his angels. Amen. Listen, my friends, Michael has your back. Amen. Michael, he won the first Star War, and he's going to win the second Star War. Don't be fooled by the imitation Star War. Study the real Star War in the Bible. Amen. Amen. That Michael, he's the commander in chief. And he hasn't given that job to anybody else. He came for part of the time to pay the price as a sacrifice. But he's coming back to administer that sacrifice for you and me. Our last scripture, look at this. Revelation 19:11. Revelation 19:11-16. John says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. So what type of horse? Friends, in the Old Testament, after a war was done, the winner of the war would come out riding on a white stallion. The one who overcame the enemy would come riding on a white stallion. These are images that anyone who gets these messages, remember this was sent to the seven churches, they would understand. Oh, so this one, he won the war. He comes out riding on a white stallion. And he who sat on him was called what? Faithful and true. And the righteousness, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. This is the most important passage of the whole study today. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were what? Don't we sing the song, Crown Him with Many Crowns? Who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. Keep looking, in case you doubt. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called what? The Word of God. John chapter 1. We're not done yet. And the what? Verse 14. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who is this, my friends? This is Michael. Michael and his what? His army. The same army from Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 9, that vanquished the dragon and his angels. But in case you doubt, let's keep on reading. And out of his mouth went a what? A sharp sword. By the way, remember, Revelation is a symbolic book, okay? It's not a literal physical sword, okay? Out of a sword, that with he should what? Strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And in case you doubt his power, verse 16 and last says, and he has a name on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Friends, your God, Jesus Christ, Michael, the archangel, is on your side. Amen. You have nothing to fear. Amen. The plan of redemption is not merely about us. It is about God and his character. We were amazingly created to play the part in this plan for which we were designed. That of bearing the character and reflecting his love in this ongoing trial. We were chosen by God to help, in quotation marks, help him demonstrate to the onlooking universe what he is really like as a selfless God of love. Today we started with Michael. Now, when we study next time, we will understand why God didn't destroy the devil and why he created you and me. But until then, always remember this. Christ won the battle in heaven, and he will win the final one on earth.